Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Customer service is concerned that when you go to certain hotels, it's paramount. This one, they care about Molly and the pool party. And they do that very, very well.
At the hotel where you were?
Yes, they do that very well.
So they do the club scene very, very well.
They do it better than anyone else.
But the actual, replacing towels, changing, cleaning the room.
They back burner the sewage issues. But they are really top drawer with, if you want THC-infused jelly beans, they gotcha. After Ethan writes this movie, who's going to play you?
Ooh. It's got to be somebody young because you got to think 20 years from now.
A young me.
Yeah.
Young me. Zach Galifianak.
I think that's a great call.
No, he's not young enough. I mean,
I love Fat Jesus, though.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
I when I am dead and buried and I am in a casket and you're looking at my body at the wake, at the Irish wake, the fake Irish wake, because we really aren't really Irish Catholics anymore. But let me tell you, when you're looking at me in that casket, remember that the hour and a half or 2 hours that I might have lived a little bit longer was taken away. And I know we have a guest, but just let me get this out of my system, was taken away by Comcast cable. I have been on the phone prior to the show this morning with Comcast for an hour and 2 minutes of the greatest display of idiocy, redundancy, stupidity, greed, all those. I have been on the phone with them for over an hour trying to restore my Comcast speed, which I use for this program, to its previous level. I won't kill you with the details. Because I switched my television service, which I talked about on the air, they downgraded me because they wanted to include me in what they call triple play. Doesn't that sound sexy? Triple play.
Easy to sell. Very saleable.
And there was no one there at the end of the day when I finally got to the lady that said, "Oh, I'm sorry, sir. This is not the business department. This is the residential department." I said, "Good night. Have a nice time." And there are a few things dealing with insurance companies stress me out. Dealing with doctor's offices stress me out. But I don't think I have been quite this stressed out by anything in my life other than dealing with this amazing level of tiers of people that kick it to other people that don't know what you're talking about. And by the way, there goes my picture now. Goes to that lovely Comcast blur. Now you can see me, but yes. I go, it's crazy. Now with that said, I just wanted to get that off my chest. Otherwise, I couldn't interview our next guest.
So thankful to be on today of all days.
By the way, this is, I think, one of the greatest names. And with a name like this, you should not be an attorney. You should be a movie star. You should be a singer. April Rain is our guest. She is Ethan, our intern's mom. And let me, I'm just going to read the bio before we have a discussion about a serious topic that should be discussed. And I like to discuss it. I would have liked to do it more on my old radio show, but now that we've got the podcast, I do it. Let me give you April's bio first. Outside of her most important job, which is being Ethan's mother.
Right.
April was formerly an attorney at law out of the University of Texas. She practiced law for nearly 20 years. Honing her talent for public speaking, persuasive writing, and affecting policy change. That's kind of the most important part because she did that. Her viral hashtag, we talked about it with Ethan right around the time of the Oscars, was hashtag OscarsSoWhite. The movement was created in 2015, and it was created due to the lack of diversity represented at the Oscars and Hollywood overall. I think it's been an amazingly successful initiative. Long way to go. But it was pretty amazing. I think showing, with this year's crop of Oscar winners and nominees, she was invited to the Oscars for the first time in 2019, this past year, and this past month. And the movement, most recently, she was featured in Vice magazine to talk about it. And she is known for her presence on Twitter. She is a go-getter. And we welcome April Rain to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hi, Ethan's mom. How are you?
Hi. I answer to that every single day. Happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
It's really great to have you on because I think, and I've thought for a long, long time, that especially now in this day and age, that America has a problem talking about and dealing with race. And anybody that's been a longtime listener of this show has heard me talk about it in bits and pieces. We are a comedy show, but I believe there are certain things that are more important than comedy. And if we have an opportunity to talk about them, I think it's important. And that's why I wanted, when I heard Ethan talking about you and the, you know, the Oscars So White program that you had, it's not really, it's a movement. I wanted to get you on the show and talk about it because it's something where when you get involved in an issue, you can really affect change. And so my first question to you would be, how did the Oscars So White movement start? Do you think it's successful? And where are we with that movement right now?
Sure. So I created Oscars So White in January of 2015, and it was completely organic. I was getting ready for work still, as you mentioned, practicing attorney at that time. And the Oscars were like my Super Bowl. So there were special snacks involved.
Sure.
I would rope off the TV so everybody knew it was mommy's night.
Right.
And that particular morning, I was watching the nominations on one of the morning television shows, half-dressed in my family room. And I was half-dressed because Chris Hemsworth, who plays Thor in the Avengers series, was one of the announcers. And I said, listen, I love my husband, but I need Thor in HD on the biggest TV screen we have in the house. So I'm sitting there with, you know, half a skirt on. And category after category that particular year, 2015, there were no people of color in the best actor, best actress, best supporting actor, best supporting actress. That's 20 different places where a person of color could have been. And let's remember that particular year, we had movies like Selma, Belle. There were a lot of quality movies that had been put out. And so what I did was pick up my phone, which is never far, and I tweeted on Twitter, "Oscars So White, they asked to touch my hair." And that was it. It was one tweet. It wasn't, yo, you know, I'm going to sit around with my people and, you know, in this conference room, we're going to ideate and strategize.
Man, that is organic, April.
Yes.
That just started by your passion.
That was it. And I went on to work and checked in around lunchtime. And that one hashtag from that one tweet was now trending internationally with hundreds of thousands of people responding. Now, I was being snarky. And so you can imagine the responses. Oscars So White. They think mayonnaise is too spicy.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oscar.
Right. Oh, no.
I get it.
It's Twitter. You'll get that. Yeah.
You know,
how much hate did you get when you did that? How much blowback did you get on that? Because, I mean, it's just the
sure.
People don't like it. People get mad. And the subject of race is the hot button of hot buttons. So
right.
Did you get a lot of blowback on
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. And still to this day, I do. From people who truly just don't understand what the hashtag is about. You know, in this country, for some reason, when you talk about race, you're automatically deemed a racist, which doesn't make any sense to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what I've attempted to explain time and time again is Oscars So White is not just about race, but about all marginalized communities. So we're talking about gender identity, sexual orientation, disability, indigenous people in this country, even age, right? So for example, we've got the amazing Sir Patrick Stewart, who plays Professor Xavier in the X-Men franchise. He plays a disabled superhero, but we've never had a disabled person play a superhero. Those are the kinds of things that I'm talking about, not quotas or affirmative action or anything like that, but just giving those folks who haven't had an opportunity their place to shine because it's long overdue.
When I brought you in, I will confess that I wanted to talk about more than just the movement of Oscars So White, because I think it's important when we get someone who has been involved in a movement like this to talk about the issue of race in general. And when I look at Hollywood, I think that the obviously you would consider somewhat successful the Oscars of 2019, the nominations where there was more diversity in there, probably a long way to go. But on the issue of race and where we are right now, when you go out and you speak to people, obviously, do you speak about diversity? Is that your topic? Is it narrow casted just to the Oscars, or do you speak about diversity in general?
I speak about issues of diversity, inclusion, equity, and representation, and explaining the difference between those four things all around the world at this point. It's gotten much bigger than just the Oscars, or even bigger than the entertainment industry, because we see that these same issues are propping up in journalism, right? In corporate America. There really isn't any specific industry in this country that could not stand to have these conversations.
I agree with you. And I think that we're in a situation now where, because of the state of affairs in our world, we've been able to identify that there's a much bigger racial problem in this country than we were aware of before. And, you know, when you're dealing with right now the issues of discrimination and white supremacy and that type of thing, I think it's important the more we talk about it. You know, I was foolish enough to believe back when Barack Obama was elected and then reelected that you know, and I'm almost embarrassed that I was as naive to think, okay, this is it. This is the turning point. This is when everything's going to get better. This is when, and what it served to do, and you can agree or disagree, I think it stirred up this anger within the white community, especially people, working class white families and stuff, where it hadn't been there before. There's a great book by J.D. Vance called Hillbilly Elegy, where he talks about that kind of anger and all that. And where we are now is, I think everything is obviously not happy and wonderful, but I think there's a lot more that's on the table. I think we see it. It's right in front of us. We can see the anger. We can see the racism. We can see it. And you're right. I think you get accused of being a racist when you talk about race, but I think it's important to talk about race, because I didn't realize, because I was so naive, that we are nowhere near where we need to be, and I don't know what to do. I'm sitting over there as a 59-year-old white fart, and I don't know what to do with this world we have. I don't know why I'm throwing it out there. I'm just venting a little bit, but it's tough. But I'll tell you, we know where we stand right now, I think, a lot more than we did before the presidential election of 2016. Does that make any sense to you?
It absolutely does. I think in 2008 and 2012, we were all lulled into a sense of complacency. And yet now here we are in the election of 2016 and beyond. And it feels like there has been blowback again. You know, the pendulum is swinging back the other way. These folks who are bigots or racists or, you know, whatever you want to call them, anti-Semites, anti-Muslim, they've always been there, but right. It feels as if they've been emboldened these last couple of years to come out of the woodwork, take their hoods off in some cases, and display who they truly are. So when you say that you don't know exactly what to do, you're doing it. Having these conversations are incredibly important, and it's especially important for you to do it, Mike, as a 59-year-old white male fart, right? Because as you say, self-identified.
Right, absolutely.
Because the people who are marginalized, who, are on the receiving end of the attacks, know what the issues are, right? And so it's kind of hard to preach to the choir every day. But having you talk about these issues, reaching your demographic, makes all the difference in the world. And having me on to have these conversations means that somebody who may not have thought about these issues before may today, simply because you and I are having this conversation. So I thank you for that.
And I, you know, yesterday with the anniversary of my mom passing away 3 years ago, I said to honor her memory, I thought it was a cool thing for people to go out and pay it forward. And today, I think that she would love this discussion we're having right now. And she was somebody who I think raised me the right way and influenced the way I think about the world. And that included a discussion about race, because we had, back in the 1960s, it was a different world. And when I'm growing up in that world, we had it. My mom was lost friends over things people would say when they would, use the wrong terms for people. And I remember that. And I still remember that. And I think that what in your mind, and I don't, I don't want you to think you speak for everybody. You're your own person. You started this movement, but I wanted to have this discussion. What is the solution? What do we do? What do we do that people that might have empathy, have compassion, know that that we're not where we need to be. You know, I think it's great to have this discussion on this radio show, but I'm afraid to have this frank discussion with my Cocoonville golfing buddies, because I know, you know, the only way I contributed was shouting one guy down when he made an inappropriate comment. And now they're all afraid to say anything around me. But I don't know how I would ever broach a subject. What can the average person do out there? You know, how do we get better? How do we get better with this racism and bigotry that's come to the surface, and racism and bigotry on both sides. This is not just white people. This is black people as well. Everybody has preconceived notions about other people. I just want to know, because I have no clue anymore. What do we do? What do you think we should do to get better?
Sure. So let me push back a little bit. There's a difference between racism and bigotry. And so racism has in part to do with the internalized structures that we have in this country, right? And so what I would say is that black people can't be racist, because racism, there's a position of power that is included there, right? So absolutely, I can be a bigot, I can discriminate against others, but I can't be racist because I am not part of that power structure.
So racism comes from power. That's where it comes from.
Yes, there is a component of that involved, right? And we see that with the college admission scandal most recently, right? And what's going on there with those kids who are able to buy into the college of their choice, you know, when it costs their parents $500,000 or even $1 million. With respect to your question of what can we do, we have to continue having those really tough conversations. You know, everybody has that one uncle who, you know, you wince when they sit down at the Thanksgiving dinner table because you know he's going to say something inappropriate. But those are the conversations. If you cannot reach that person as a relative, as a person who loves them, then there's no way that I can do that, right?
Right.
You're the one that has to reach your fellow golf buddies out there on the eighth tee and have those conversations over a period of time. And it doesn't have to be an argument. It should just be a discussion. And then let's also talk about who your golf buddies are, right? Maybe you're inviting a person from a marginalized community to be your fourth one day. And just to show, you know, hey, we're just hanging out. And today Rob is going to join us. And Rob is a Latinx man. And there's no difference there. But even that may start the conversation down that road. We all
Oscar,
need to
continue. Oscar, I'm going to need you to pick up the game of golf.
Done and done.
Listen.
Done.
Thank you. Thank
done
you
done.
Very much. Thank you. That's
there it.
It
is.
I've played the game for a long time. Everybody knows the story of golf probably, but you know, I think that's true. We do it when we can. I've kind of tried to do that. And it's something that we need to do more of where the opportunity presents itself. And I want to ask you specifically, when you talk about racism and power and bigotry, what about, for example, say we've got the CEO. There's a black CEO, and he has an all-black group of employees, and an African-American and a white guy come in to interview for a job, and he hires the black guy, and they're both equally qualified. What about when it goes in the other direction? Because there are certainly many examples of African-American run businesses here. I want to make sure I understand the distinction that you're trying to make here.
Sure. It's based on that hypothetical, it's hard to say, right?
Okay.
But one of the things that I would say is that perhaps the black CEO is thinking about all of the structural inequality that has happened over the course of the lifetime of that applicant, and the fact that that applicant may not get an equal shot anywhere else, right?
Okay.
Again, we go back to the college admissions and the legacy standpoint, right? So there are white kids who get into Ivy League universities simply because their parents also went to those universities. Do they have the grades? Do they have the GPA? Do they have the SAT scores? Who knows? They get in solely because of who they know, right? And that happens all the time, and nobody argues with that. So what is the distinction between that and a black CEO saying, hey, this person is actually qualified, and so we're going to give him a shot because he may not get a shot anywhere else?
I get it. Okay, and that's a good answer to that. And getting back to Hollywood and you know, the movies that one of the Green Book, one of the movies that was I wanted to get your thoughts on this. I went to see the Green Book, and after the Green Book won some awards, you heard frustration among people saying, "Well, you've got an issue of a white man helping out the black man." And I completely understand that perspective that people would say about that. But at the same time, when you look at this story that was based on a true story, you're looking at still, even with that, the way I reacted to it when I watched it was you had two people that could not have been more different. But at the same time, they at the end, they kind of came to an understanding. But I understand the frustration. I just want to, I'd love to know your take on the Green Book, which was, you know, it's the opposite of a movie, like Black Panther, where, you know, where it was an all, do you understand? And I understand the difference between the two films. I just wanted to get your thoughts on Green Book. And did you feel that that particular film, was that frustrating for you to see that that film was winning awards? Because here it is, the white guy helps out the black guy. And I understand it, but I still liked the Green Book when I saw it.
Sure. And there's nothing wrong with liking the Green Book. And I listened to your show in which you had this really nuanced conversation about it. There are several things going on there. First is the white savior trope, which you mentioned, right? And we've seen that
savior.
Done
okay,
time and time again, you know, and Spike Lee famously said not too long ago, you know, every time a black guy is driving somebody around, I lose because do the right thing, you know, do the right thing lost 30 years ago to driving Miss Daisy, right?
Right.
So you know, right. We've seen the white savior trope done so many times, and there's so many other stories that need to be told. Maybe this wasn't the one. Secondly, and what's most important for me with respect to the issues of diversity and inclusion in Oscar So White is who is telling the story and whose story is being told. Now, Mike, let me give you a hypothetical. 20 years from now, Hollywood says we want to do the Mike O'Meara biopic story, right? But they hire Ethan to write the script. Mm-hmm. Now, Ethan was with you for one summer, and yet he's going to write the entire story of your life. That's what happened in Green Book. Green Book was written in part by the son of the chauffeur. Is that the best person to know the entire story of Dr. Shirley? Or is Ethan the best person to tell your story? Sure, he can tell you about one summer. So that's part of it. Who is telling the story? And whose story is being told? The book is called, the movie is called The Green Book, right? But The Green Book, as they explain, it was an actual book used by black folks when they had to travel down south because literally they could not stop where they wanted to in the Jim Crow South to even go to the bathroom or get something to eat or stay in a hotel overnight. And so they had to ensure that there were safe spaces for them. So are we now saying that Mr. Vallelonga, the chauffeur, is the safe space? Right. And again, if we're saying whose story is being told, there's a line in the movie where Vallelonga, the chauffeur played by Viggo Mortensen, says, you know, why is he doing this? You know, he had just gotten Dr. Shirley had just gotten beat up or something. He said, why is he doing this? And the one of the fellow musicians said, you know what? He could have stayed in the north and made three times as much money, but he chose to be down here. That seems like a really important line to me and something that should have been explored, right? Why did Dr. Shirley make this choice?
I get it.
But we never found out more because whose story was being told? The chauffeur's and not Dr. Shirley's. And the family of Dr. Shirley was very upset about the way that this had been written. They were not consulted at all. So again, think about Ethan writing your story and never talking to your daughter about who you really were. Those are the issues that many of us had with Green Book.
You're good, you. You're good. Yes, sir. Yes, Rob Spiewak.
After Ethan writes this movie, who's going to play you?
Oh, let me see. I'm trying to think right now.
Who it's got like to be somebody young because you got to think 20 years from now.
A young me.
True. Yeah.
A young me. Zach Galifianak.
I think that's a great call.
No, he's not. Yeah, he's not young enough. I mean,
I love Fat Jesus though.
You know what? You know what? We're talking to April Rain, and if you want to find more out about the movement and anything she's interested in. It's rainofapril.com. God, what a great name. That would be a great radio name.
It is a April great Rain. Radio name.
April Rain coming up 3 o'clock this afternoon. April, this my big question at the end. Are you hopeful that I'm 59. I got probably a good 20 years left. That's about it. If I'm really, really lucky before my heart explodes.
Who says that? That's one of them lucky.
Are you hopeful?
Absolutely.
With where we are right now?
I am. And I would not continue to do this work if I was not. I think that the pendulum swings back and forth, but I think that you are indicative of us moving in the right direction. The fact that we are having this discussion on the Michael Mira show, the fact that we are seeing more and more people behind the camera get the opportunities from traditionally underrepresented communities, the fact that the Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts and Sciences, the folks who do the Oscars, have committed to doubling the number of people of color and doubling the number of women within their ranks by 2020. It's always two steps forward, one step back, but I'm excited about where we're going in the future.
And with that said, speaking of movies and a movie that was nominated for Best Picture, I would encourage everybody like me to, you might not be inclined to want to go rent Black Panther or you didn't see it in the theaters. When you watch it, and I really, really did do this on my own. This came to me because I said, oh, Black Panther, how can I relate? I hate superhero movies. And, I don't want. And I watched Black Panther and I actually was able to think of a young African-American kid that would turn that movie on and see for the very first time that I was aware of a superhero movie with an African-American cast, unlike any other. And when you watch that movie, this is me telling you this, okay? Because this is just from my perspective. I don't care whether you agree or disagree. Everybody can agree and disagree on whatever perspective they want to have. When you watch that movie, just think how it might make a young African-American kid feel to see, because he's seen Spider-Man and Superman and Iron Man and all the other mans and these superheroes. And then to finally see what I thought was one of the best superhero movies because of the storyline and just how wonderful the portrayals were in this movie, and watch that. And then you kind of get a little handle. I think I kind of always think of that when I thought about the Oscars so white movement. That's the last thing I wanted to say. I'd like to be hopeful, too. The last thing I would also say is speak up. Speak up like April said, if you get an opportunity. It doesn't always have to be pretty when you speak up either. You can do it in a comfortable way, or you can do it, but don't be afraid to do it in an uncomfortable way. And by the way, when I did that, there were about 12 people around me, and not one of them spoke up. I got a whisper or two after that little altercation was over. That's okay, too. Okay? You might think these people are going to think I'm an a-hole. Hey, it doesn't matter. If they think you're an a-hole, they're an a-hole. I'm sorry. That's how we simplified it. But April, thank you for Ethan. He was criticizing my hair the other day. I won't show you my haircut today, but please come back and visit us sometime, will you? And so we can continue. And for those of you that say, oh, you're supposed to do the comedy. It's always supposed. Where's the comedy? Bite me. Sorry, April. I didn't want you to hear that.
That was comedy. But, there's comedy. Bite me is comedy.
Okay.
On the inside.
And, yeah. Is there anything else you wanted to say before we kick you out of the studio and start doing our stuff that we don't want you to see?
No, I appreciate everything that you all have done for my son. He's having a wonderful time with the Michael Mira Show and at Podcast Village. Thank you for having me on and for having this nuanced conversation. I would be happy to come back anytime.
Oh, she's great. Thank you, that. April Rain. We appreciate that. And now, on to the stupidity.
It's the Michael Mara Show. You can listen to the Michael Mara Show at www.michaelmaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Michael Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Hey, so, chipping up.
Yes, huh?
Anything you need, anything, you let me know.
Yes.
I bought a boat.
You bought a boat?
I bought a boat. Sail away into the sunset. So, here is tonight. Yes?
Tonight. Hey,
maestro, that fucking sauce, unbelievable.
What can I say?
Someone get you a compliment, you say thank you.
Grazie.
Pascal, what about?
That mean you're gonna sail away?
Maybe. If the sky is red in the morning. No, the sky is What is that rhyme?
When is the good one?
Red sky at morning, minute will rain outside.
What about rain inside?
Huh? Nothing.
No, what you mean?
You say rain outside, and I think for you to use the word outside is funny.
Why?
Because it can't rain inside.
I don't say inside.
I know.
I say outside.
I know.
So where is the problem?
No, I don't get it.
Well, you don't have to say outside because it can't rain inside.
What the f***?
I know it can't rain inside.
Forget it.
What the f*** is he talking about?
I'm confused.
No, I make fun.
Oh, you make a fan of your brother.
No, it's a joke. I make like a joke.
I don't hear the joke.
Well, it's not...
I make a toast.
No, for me. It's too early.
Nay, it's never too late. So this is to tonight, the big night, when I bring you together my old friend Louis Prima with my two new friends. You guys are simply the best. Salute.
Hey. Salute.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show from Hilliard, Washington to Sproul, Pennsylvania, Omaha, Nebraska, Lodi, California, Gresham, Oregon, and London, England. We are on the air and brought to you by Noom. Hey, sticking to a weight loss plan can be hard, especially with the mental obstacles that hold you back from making progress. Let me tell you about Noom and how it can help you live a healthier lifestyle. With Noom, you'll lose the guilt and learn how to develop a new relationship with food. That's what's great about Noom. With Noom, you don't diet. You learn better habits for a new, better you. Noom puts weight loss in the palm of your hand. Literally, the Noom app is on your phone whenever and wherever you need it. Noom gives you a live goal specialist, a behavior change professional, nutrition expert, and fitness trainer all in one. My favorite part is that Noom has one of the biggest food databases available. You eat the food, you put it in the database, it helps you track your food, takes the agony out of food tracking. I love it. Noom, designed for results. Lose your old habits by signing up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/TMOS. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/TMOS to start your trial today. Again, that's Noom.com/TMOS. Start losing weight for good. Oscar Santana, welcome back.
There he is.
How's it to walk into the studio when I am literally having one of my true old-fashioned rant, not ranting at you guys, well, maybe Rob a little bit, but having a full fit. Did it just go, oh,
I know.
God, I'm back with that Mike, monster again.
It's Fit City, and I was so pissed. We've been to that city together many times. So I said,
this one was physically manifesting itself. Changed. Dealing with Comcast.
You looked so pained. Yes. You really looked pained.
Tightening in my chest. I can't do that anymore. I'm going to tell Carla to up my meds. I'm going to tell her to up my meds so that I don't have that reaction.
The passion
to that.
Is always welcome.
Yes.
Here's the thing. Where I lose it with them is when you don't even get an update and it goes 10, 15, 18 minutes. And you're sitting there and you don't know whether they've forgotten you or not.
Right.
And I still. And then at the very end of the hour. It's just like watching an extra innings baseball game,
you
get nothing from him. And I'll fix it. I'll eventually fix it. And as far as April coming on the show, I think that's healthy once in a while.
Sure.
Yeah, I get it, folks. I know what we're here for. But the more we talk, I got educated during that segment.
So did I.
Kind of
I
understood.
Did too.
I wanted to have a little perspective on it. And April happens to be Ethan, our intern's mom. And so that's why we had April in there. And once in a while, I choose to do that. I get to. It's a podcast, and we get to do what we want on it sometimes. If we want to have a moment of seriousness to talk, I think it's healthy. So deal with it.
Open conversation is always welcome.
Sure.
Well, welcome back, the three amigos. Woo! Back in the studio. Ta-da! Today. After Oscar's whirlwind trip out there to Arizona. And, you know, you were kind of radio silent. I got maybe one text from you, but you were, you were out there. How did it go? How did every little bit? You had the family. You had the Big O and Duke show.
For Phoenix, start off right as I end up at BWI. I'm sure, I don't know if Mike conveyed this to you, but as we are getting to our gate, the flights all around us were canceled except for ours, for Southwest Airlines. And I said, why?
737 MAX issues, ladies and gentlemen.
And you fly a 737 MAX out of BWI because you like the luxury of it?
No, it's $100 cheaper.
I know.
I'm a skinflint.
You might as well be flying out of New York City.
You weren't on a 737 MAX going out to Phoenix.
The Colorado, the Denver flights around me, that there was two of them.
Right, big ones. That's the big jets they fly out to Denver.
You had one going to San Fran, another one. And we were at the little terminal at BWI, if you've been there before. It's the A gates. There's like five gates.
Okay.
Four of them. You hear, flight canceled. And this is 3 p.m. afternoon time.
Because they made the decision to ground the 737 MAXs. No, and Southwest flies more of them than any other airline.
I'm in the cattle call line, and I was like, oh, no, we're not going to make it there.
So you're standing in the masking tent?
I'm waiting. Because this is what, remember we were going back and forth asking, if my flight was a MAX or not.
Right.
Yeah, because I read about it, and when they mentioned Southwest came up first, I thought it might screw you up a little bit.
People were reporting that there was, there were some flights that were being changed to MAXs because the MAX was still, so there was a lot of going on at the airport as far as like murmurs, but no announcement had been made about the cancellation of flights. So as soon as we hear that all of them are canceled except for ours, I double check and I was like, I guess that's not a MAX. I did feel bad for everybody that was there, but I was more concerned with, okay, we dodged this bullet. There are so many moving parts of people flying into Phoenix.
Right.
How are we going to get through this live show with Drab not getting there or Chad not getting there? Who knows, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Because
you're not all in the same
plane.
And
you're flying far enough, D.C. to Phoenix, where sometimes they put those big planes on there. You know, I mean, if you're flying to a smaller airport, it's a different story. But it's not necessarily, Phoenix isn't a hub.
But Southwest has the most amount. Yes, it is a hub.
It is a hub for Southwest. Yes. Okay, so they might fly those big
planes. The most amount of planes for the Southwest fleet were flying out of Phoenix, from what our understanding. So we're like,
and by the way, for those of you listening to my voice now that may not be familiar with the 737 MAX issues, here's how it goes. The 737 MAX is a brand new Boeing airplane. And here's how it works. Some of these planes, when the plane takes off, they get just about to their altitude and the computer system takes over and the pilots go, I can't control the plane.
Yeah. Now, is
and
that
then the plane crashes and everybody dies.
Is that a flaw or a feature?
They thought it was a feature.
Okay.
The guys down in R&D
thought
it was a feature.
Did you talk to Pete Hooper down in R&D?
Yeah. Hooper's down there. Hooper says he's got a brand new thing. It's going to make it easy as hell for the pilots.
Hey, this is Hooper. Listen, I got this thing. You can't even override it. It's perfect.
The best
Hooper out.
The best line is, and as you're tracking, and you probably have seen this on the news already, is that so the flights, all the 737 MAX 8s get canceled.
Sure.
And then you start seeing all this information come out, and it's not a disinformation campaign. It's just a campaign saying, all right, this is what we're finding about the Ethiopia crash. This is what's happening with Indian Air. Like, then you find out that the one update that did go out like a month ago came from an iPad. So you would actually run the course on an iPad after they updated the software to the plane.
Sure.
And you're like, I run a course on an iPad for a mixing board. I don't run a course on an iPad for a plane that's flying 500 people in the middle of the air.
Well, Sam Bingo. Doyle down in receiving, Mike. Sam Doyle said it was fine, and he talks to Paul Hooper.
Bingo. So the way I understood it, and we'll deal with the flights, and then we'll take a break and come back and get your whole story about Phoenix. When you're coming back, that's when the 737 MAX issue kind of bit you in the ass.
Comes into play.
Right, so what happened when you were on your return trip?
So when we realized there's a problem, I double check with Shannon. She's like, well, they haven't posted the flight information yet. I said, okay, please keep an eye on this. And I'm at a production meeting with Drab T-shirt in Phoenix, Arizona. And Drab, he's the Big O Dukes producer, but also the Junkies in the Morning producer. But he was getting texts the entire time just for work and stuff. So I was like, this is nothing. And he has the mental fortitude of a 16-year-old sometimes for these life goals on making a flight or booking a flight. Who knows? And he's the cheapest person I know. But he flew Southwest as well as I did. We both at the same time get a text, and we think it's a group text. It's a group text from Southwest saying our flights are canceled. Going back home.
Oh, boy.
And I said, our flights are canceled? Who the F writes you that? It's like a breakup on a text.
Yeah, and how long before the flight did you get the notification?
24 hours.
That's way, way in
like
advance.
It's just not enough. I mean, but also, what are my options?
Right.
So I log on. I texted my wife to log on because we're doing something else. He's panicking and sweating in front of me. And I was like, what are you going to do? He's like, they're giving me options. Give me options. I was like, well, get your best option. His option was terrible. And he also.
So is he coming back on Monday too?
He's coming back on Monday, but he's coming back the same way he got there because he had a layover somewhere. I didn't realize he had done that.
So he is cheap.
His trip home.
Southwest layover.
It's like.
Southwest layover from the hub.
$34 round trip, Mr. Drab.
His trip home, I can't confirm the time. It feels like it must have taken him at least 15 hours to get home from Phoenix.
Should have driven.
That's a 4-hour flight.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, JP's texted him, so are you going to be here or not?
He may not be home by now. I don't know. This is Tuesday. So I say, my wife says, we're fine. We just have to leave at 5:45 a.m. Monday morning.
Perfect.
Now, there's a lot of play here. We get up for the flight. Mind you that if you're still on East Coast time, we're just basically flying at 1 a.m. because you have to be at the airport early.
Right.
So,
well, no, it seems
pretty good, doesn't he?
You benefit because it's 8:45 real time because it's 3 hours earlier there.
Either way, it didn't work for my clock.
But you were there just long enough to screw up your inside clock. Yes.
It feels like daylight savings time was this week for me.
Right.
There's
and
a
you
lot
took
going
a smaller
on.
Plane back to BWI.
No, we get, I don't know what we took, Mike, because when I got there, they shimmied us on like we were evacuating the airport. Really quick.
Mike, where it says 737, someone had put a piece of gaffer's tape.
Yeah. We get on the plane and we hear, we need 22 people to leave the plane. We're willing to pay. I'm sorry. The guys all stumbled. He's like, okay, we'll do the max of 1,200. Hold on a sec. All right, we'll do the max of each person that gets off the plane will get $1,200 in Southwest airfare credit and the credit for your flight to your destination.
So you get a free flight.
So in my eyes, it's like $1,700.
Yeah.
It costs $500.
Mm-hmm. You got a window where you can
each.
Make it back on
$1,700
Monday?
Each. You get on.
That's a good deal.
Then you and I look at Shannon. I was like, we got to get the F off this plane. And
attaboy. You're the guy I like, though. You're the guy. You got a window. You got to be back at work on Tuesday. Why not?
And Shannon's like, no, they want us to come home at 4 o'clock. And I said, well, we'll just go to Scottsdale Mall, putz around, get some sun, and then come back here. And she said, no, we have to get home. Our clothes is downstairs. I said, no, we'll go to the mall. I know that. We'll buy new clothes because we got $1,700 to burn, and then we'll come back. And and there's this back and forth. And my wife, she just says, well, is that really their max? Which I respect that. You got to negotiate, right?
She's the one that's like, she's gotten ready. She's on the plane.
Yeah.
Her ass is in the seat.
Yes.
I understand that too.
Yeah.
But I'm rooting for you on this one, pal.
So then I said, all right, well, it's still early. Like A group came on. So A, B, and C, we still have a 2/3 of the plane and you get on. And then I bet you they're going to double that offer. I look at her. I was like, you're right. I'm a rube. I'm never taking the first offer.
Yeah, wait till they're going to close the door.
So there's a, you see 12 rubes get off right away. They're like, beep, beep, bop, me, mop, beep. And you get off.
$1,700. Go.
Let's go.
We go $1,700. Let's go.
Get out of my way.
Let's get off the plane.
I start doing the rough math. To fly to Orlando, Boston. I'm like, we could go see the family in Orlando.
Sure.
We could go to Boston. This is and like this trip wouldn't be as expensive. This is going to be fantastic. And then my wife is doing the best job she's ever done, not to inconvenience herself. When she says to me and says, no, I know what's going to happen. You're just going to be stressed out all day and you're going to be a monster. And I got to deal with that all day. I said,
monster.
That's a low blow. Why would I be a monster? We each got $1,700 and we'd be like hanging out in the most glorious place I know. Which is
all right,
Phoenix,
we're running
Arizona.
Out of time. Did they up the ante?
So one person dings the bell and says, if I get off for that $1,700, are you going to make sure that I'm still in the same boarding group as I was when we come back?
Oh, that's God.
I'd like to punch.
So the lady walks over the front and she goes,
I had an early check-in with A14.
Why don't we leave it there? There's so much more of the story, and we can come back from the break.
More airline. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back with Oscar Santana and the 737 MAX story, and I want to hear all about your cabanas and your live show and all that good stuff. We'll take it. Well, not a lot about the live show. You know, there's that jealousy thing with that.
You'll never get over it. I love it.
I'm sure the junkies were shaking Drab's hand, too, for flying out there. See you Tuesday. We'll take a break and we'll come back with more.
Are you going to be here or not?
Did you just do your JP impression? I did mine. It's only a show.
Hey, we can do it without you.
We'll take a break, come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Connecting with the Mike O'Mara Show has never been easier. Introducing
Yak Shack.
Yak Shack.
Yak Shack.
Yak Shack.
All you need is a phone to tap the touch tones at 1-888-920-6673 and leave a message.
Phone calls from you so you can get your voice on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Call anytime because the Yak Shack never closes.
The sky is the limit. For the Yak Shack.
Taking your calls at 1-888-920-6673.
I've got me a cell phone and it's ready to call. And I'm calling the TMOS Yak Shack.
Call now.
Yes. Leave us a yak at the TMOS Yak Shack.
Yes.
Woo.
Wow. And they're great calls.
Love them.
Oscar, we did a few of them. It's working.
It's working.
We love the Yak Shack. Welcome back to the show. Brought to you by Joybird. Joybird is online furniture shopping or furniture shopping that lets you. I'm still stressing over Comcast.
Take a breath. It's okay.
This far into the show. That lets you create the space and furniture that bring you joy. With Joybird, you get one-of-a-kind furniture made to your unique taste. They have a wide range of kid and pet-friendly upholstery options, plus free personal design consultants to achieve your perfect design. Each Joybird piece is made by hand with care and precision using high-quality hardwood and responsibly sourced materials to fit your exact specifications. I just got an idea. And every piece comes with a limited lifetime warranty. Try the 365-day home trial. Sit on it, sleep on it, break it in. If you don't love your Joybird, return it for a full refund. Plus, hassle-free in-home delivery. They even remove all the packing materials. See how Joybird is revolutionizing online furniture shopping. Create the furniture that brings you joy at joybird.com/TMOS. Go to joybird.com/TMOS and receive an exclusive offer for 25% off your first order by using the code TMOS. I just figured it out. I know what I'm doing today.
What's that?
Goodbye, Xfinity TV.
Oh.
Done.
Done.
I needed the final care. It cost me more money. Done. See you later. I'll use them for internet.
Back to DirecTV?
My business connected. Yeah, back to a DirecTV.
That's what I do.
Today.
Yeah.
Done. It'll happen today. Cool. Welcome back to the show. Okay, so you're in the airport.
But make sure when you call DirecTV, you say you're thinking about changing over.
Yeah, it's tough because I've got like an outstanding from when I canceled with some equipment charges that they better wipe away.
Oh, they will. They will. Tell them that you're dissatisfied and you're looking for another avenue. Can they make it worth... Mention the fact that it's a tremendous hassle to change over.
This may be the day, if you would be willing.
Of course.
This may be the day.
We can conference call.
Farm this out. That I outsource this to you and let you give you all my pertinent information.
We can do
this. That way.
Absolutely.
You think they do it even with your phone number or calling for a
friend? Yeah, I think so. I would just need your account number.
Okay, very good. Oscar Santana, back to the air. Yeah. Thank you. We just had to take care of a little business. We're running late.
When are we back from
the
promo?
And we're not doing the mailbag. We'll do the mailbag. Look, the mailbag has been tabled a couple of times. We're going to do the Yak Shack calls whenever. We're going to do the mailbag whenever, Tuesday through Friday. So be aware of that.
Fluid.
Back to Oscar.
Yes.
Your wife wants to stay on the plane. You want to cash in the money, but you're holding out because you think you might be getting more money. Check.
Yeah. And the person asked the question, hey, will I get my boarding pass, the same A15 that I left earlier for? She the flight attendant walks up and asks the question.
Slaps her.
Comes back and says, well, sir, you'll have roughly $1,700 of credit. You could just buy an A-grade pass, like upgrade, when you get to the gate.
Right.
And he goes, yeah, I will do that. All right. Boom, boom, boom. Three more people get off. They're like, answers. There are two slots left on this lottery machine because enough people have thought about it and now are getting off the plane.
Right.
So I say, Shannon, I've counted. This now or never. We got to move. And she said, well... what about Santos? And I said,
that sounds like Carla.
I said, what about him? He's at Todd's sleeping. He has nothing to do with this equation. He never came on this trip. It's the first time we had a dogless trip in 2 years.
Yeah. He's sitting on the floor, just sitting in front of the TV.
I was like, he's licking his balls. I don't know what he's doing. He's just doing what he needs to do.
Todd offered him $1,700. Todd offered him $1,700 to leave the apartment.
So I said, Shannon, you don't really work. You don't know what $1,700 is worth. And she looked at me. She goes, yeah, I do work. I work with you. And I said, okay, never mind. I can't say that. You're right. You do work. I said, Shannon, you don't really work that hard.
Oh, no. You made it the anthem? You went back to the original song?
Yeah, and then she said...
I gotta know, is this a plane with three seats and three seats with a middle aisle?
Yes.
How are you seated right now? Is one of you on the aisle and one in the middle?
No, window.
Window, and all then right. is there a third person listening into your conversation?
She's not loving this, but loving this.
Right.
She's doing that thing when you pretend to have headphones in, but you're not, because you want to hear what's going on.
Sure. Listening to the whole thing.
And she desperately wants us to leave, because we've been arguing for 20 minutes about leaving.
Right.
And...
Get out.
I say, look, that's a lot of money. That is Orlando, that is Boston that's coming back to see your mom. Sure. Like, mm-hmm. We're going to be fine. And if we leave at 4, Santos will be fine. And she said, well, what are you going to tell Michael? And I said, Michael O'Mara? She goes, no, Michael Corleone. I said, what do you mean? She said, if we get off this plane right now, you would have had your friend Michael Corleone, who picked us up from the hotel at 3:30 a.m.
Are you just going to say,
hey, remember that time you woke up in the middle of the night to take your friends to the airport? And by the way, your friend who borrowed your multi-hundred thousand dollar BMW for the week that you were there, left your car with no gas in it because he's a scumbag at the valet.
And you did not gas it up?
I tried to. I just couldn't find a gas station.
All right, we're digressing. Okay. What happened?
She said, you're going to be the a-hole that says, hey, we're back. Do you want to have lunch? Because you woke up at 3:30 a.m. Hey, everything worked out for us. I'm sure you're dragging ass at your business right now trying to run that business because you woke up in the middle of the night.
I'd understand. I mean, you got the offer. Why?
Yeah, yes. As long as he knew the details.
And I said, Michael doesn't care, and he owns the company. He's probably
she's just making that argument. I think she's just making that argument because she wants to stay on the plane.
Yeah. The argument takes 5 minutes. I ding, and I say, Michael's not going to care. I apologize for the gas already. I know I'm a scumbag friend. He'll get me back and I'll get him back. Whatever. Ding. Lady comes over and is like, we'll take that offer. She said, oh, I'm sorry. We've already fulfilled what we needed.
Oh.
Over.
Oh,
over.
No.
So now it's time for the blame game, right?
Wow. How pissed are you?
So I'm upset, but I'm not like upset that I'm.
I mean, you have to value the fact that you're up in the middle of the night and you're on the plane and you're at least going to make it to your destination.
Yeah, but it's the FOMO. Like I'm thinking of
fear of missing out on the money.
I'm thinking of people at the Cinnabon celebrating. I can't believe more people didn't get off.
Everybody at Hudson News gets a bottle of water.
I get it.
And this is what I also do, Mike. Our hotel, we could have gone back to our hotel and stayed, had a late checkout because we technically didn't check out of the hotel. We still had the room.
Oh, yeah.
We could have gone
back. In the middle of the night.
We could have gone back there.
So that's the plane you took?
I had to come home $1,700 times two less because we sat there and argued about a car that didn't have gas.
Oh, man.
Wow. And my wife.
That had to be a wonderful trip.
Yeah.
No, well, she put her earbuds in and said, well, I'm going to listen to the Dropout podcast about Theranos. And I said, what about the money? We're not going to talk about the money? That we just lost all this money? She goes, no. Santos is waiting for us.
Oh, my God.
This is my life. I did this to myself.
Oh, well, how was the rest of the trip?
Oh, it was great. It was our hotel got flooded with sewage water. That was fun. And then it took them 3 hours to change the hotel room. Ask me if I showered before I got to
Yes. Your room got flooded?
Yes.
Did you overstuff like you do occasionally?
No, this was in the toilet. It was something completely different. And I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he's a talker. Where did the
sewage come from?
We're in this 5-star hotel. And out of the blue, 9 a.m., I hear sounds like the Goonies scene where all the pipes are meh, meh, wah, wah, meh, like just in the walls.
Where's the poo water coming from?
So I go to the toilet and I flush it. I'm like, oh, that had probably nothing. The poo water was coming out of the shower that was made out of glass because they got to be all fancy.
Oh, ew.
And I said, that's not stopping. It didn't. It overflowed the little crystal shower ledge that it had. Call downstairs and said, you got a sewage problem here. I don't know what's going on, but we didn't do that. Sit there. I have all these pictures of a Roto-Rooter, a full like 4-course plumber quartet where you're like, they've got the snake. They've got a pipe. They got a guy with a plunger that looks like it's from the future.
And they moved you?
The whole time I'm asking, I got to take a shower. I got this live event. I got to be at a venue 2 hours early for. And they're like,
you say this is a 5-star hotel?
Yes.
Those aren't stars, Mike. Those are asterisks.
I saw the picture. It's a beautiful place. Did they move you at all?
They moved my wife. I had to leave. I'm like standing over the sink, taking a towel, cleaning myself. There's sewage water to the right of me.
Oh,
there's
man,
three plumbers. And I'm like, no one cares. No one cares. I called down on the desk and said, look, we've got a sold out program here in Phoenix that I'm about to go out. Is there like a gym shower I can use? Something like that. They said, sir, we'll move you as quick as possible. I go downstairs to the front desk to make a stink, right? Because I'm going to make a stink. I'm going to tell
everyone. At that point, yeah.
But, and I'm like, oh, I see what's happening. This whole place has turned into a club. There's no idea that they know. They don't know that there's sewage. There could be a dead body upstairs. Because oops. I'm like, I need a new room.
I feel like we need a week to talk to him.
I know, right?
Stuff,
he didn't even. I would. He buried the lead.
All right, save it. I'll come back. We'll finish with you. We got to do that. Sorry, got to do the commercials. You know, we had a guest and all that.
Mike, it came out of
the mailbag.
Mike, the sewage is coming out of the shower.
That's gross. We'll take a break and come back with more fun and more thrills, more Oscar on the Mike O'Mara Show. We'll be right back.
It's Political Persuasions.
Hey, it's Chris Fritz with Political Persuasions. This week, Mike and I talk about the latest Democrat to join the field of 14,000, Beto O'Rourke, the college cheating scandal, and Nancy Pelosi says no to impeachment. But does she mean it? Tune in.
You can download Political Persuasions at politicalpersuasions.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever fine podcasts are found.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect with qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. That's where it is. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. But they don't stop there. ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply for your job. ZipRecruiter analyzes each applicant and spotlights the top candidates so you never, ever miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. Remember it, ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. It's ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire.
My brother-in-law works for ZipRecruiter. Got a chance to meet him.
Oh, fantastic.
I didn't
out in Arizona?
That. Yeah, he just got married and he graduated from ASU. And I was like, hey, man, what are you doing for a living now? And he's like, I work for ZipRecruiter. And he was like that college glow out of where you're like, I love the place I work. I got
That's
a
cool.
job.
Good for yeah. him. That's good.
Small
and
world.
So we've got so far the horrible travel and the sewage in the shower. Was there anything great that happened?
The show was fantastic. We'll give a full recap of that on Big O Nukes. We're recording that tonight. Out of respect to the guys, I'll talk about that there. But
right.
The hotel situation.
Chad gets mad at him if he does it here. So we.
Right.
He can't
Chad's actually
here.
On vacation still. He's on vacation.
He's still on vacation.
Yeah.
He so made it's be you and Drab.
He made the right choice. He stayed in Phoenix.
Yeah. See,
and
that's cool.
For me, the hotel, I guess, was this is the first time I felt like an adult at a hotel. And I'll tell you why. Because now I know what my parents used to get upset about certain things when we used to go out and travel. When the towels weren't, I thought my mom was a fussy and like kind of just like stuck up at times and we're going okay. up over my mom. Things should be in a certain place.
Right.
And I don't think as far as customer service is concerned that when you go to certain hotels, it's paramount. This one, they care about Molly and the pool party. And they do that very,
at
very well.
At the hotel
yeah.
where you were?
Yes, they do that very well. Very
so
well.
So they do the club scene
yes.
very, very
they
well.
They do it
the
better
trendy,
than anyone else.
Hip, 31-inch
yes.
waist guys.
Yes.
They do
yes.
very well.
And gals, the actual, like just great.
Replacing towels, changing, cleaning the room.
They back burner the sewage issues, but they are really top drawer with like, if you want THC-infused jelly beans, they gotcha.
So, I speak Oscar and I can interpret. So you felt like an adult because you felt like they were catering to the children
yeah,
at the hotel.
Yeah, and I'll say this, that I did work out for 3 days straight because the when you go, and Mike, you probably know this, when you're down in a warmer climate, it lends itself. And when I lived in Phoenix, it lends yourself for a healthier lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. People,
yeah,
all the old people, even down
active,
here,
right?
are out on bikes. They're running. They're out there. That's
the hottest guys, the hottest girls. They're in shape.
No hot people down here. You know,
I'm
plain people.
So when I would go to
you know, we call a hot woman in Cocoonville
what
a guest. All right. Anyway, thank you. No, that's terrible. Sorry.
Mike,
don't
that's
send
just
me a
silly. Come on now.
That's a joke I heard on the driving range the other day. It was pretty good.
What is that I hear?
As you get older, you start saying, okay, I got to get the most of this hotel, the amenities. I have to figure out what's going on. So I go to the gym, and I'm not doing anything crazy at the gym. I am doing just minimal, low-impact workouts to get back on it. And then I realize, oh, the gym is kind of facing the pool, but there is a privacy wall in front of the pool glass. I mean, the gym glass wall.
Sure.
And I said, well, I really would love to see what's going on at that pool party while I'm working out, because that's great people watching.
Motivating,
how,
too.
How can I do that without being a complete pervert?
Look at that ass!
Oh, Lord! Sorry. You better hit it again for me. I'm sorry about that. I wasn't there.
I heard it. It's just in the distance.
But you can see all the beautiful people going to the pool.
Right.
And you see a lot of the sarongs for the girls, and you see a lot of the guys that are just built like an Adonis. They take their shirt off with one hand. Mike, I'll never be able to do that. I'll cramp up. I tried. It's the best move ever.
I use the jaws of life.
And then we walk through. See? You can't. I cramped up. I was trying to do it for a month. I was explaining to my wife, and I just couldn't do it. It was embarrassing.
they're eating my flesh.
I figure out, this is a pro tip for you perverts out there that are beyond the age demographic. You're aging out from this mid-20s.
Mike, it's the PPT, the pervert pro tip.
There you go.
If you put the treadmill on incline 12, it starts at zero. So you're
straight up in the air.
Yes, yeah. You can work harder and burn more calories, but get high enough to peek over the privacy wall and get the motivation you need to stay on 12 and keep walking. That incline changes everything. It just does. But treadmills, the incline traditionally should be maybe a 5. If you're going to do anything. 12.
That.
People walk in and they see you and they're like, what is that guy doing? And if it's another guy, he says, well, that guy must be doing something right. And he quickly realizes, oh, I see what you're doing. If you get high enough, you can look over the privacy wall.
Exactly.
So we had that pervert connection where you look at each other, you're like, ah. Nice play.
Mm-hmm.
And then, boom, gets to 12, moves on with his life.
Perfection.
But we're good.
Are we still on the air?
We're back. So, did you hear when my friend to the left of me that got on, who didn't belong in the gym either, we're just pretending to do something with our lives, he realized that my incline at 12 was actually a pervert incline.
Right.
And he also started hitting the button frantically to get to as high as I was, so he could look over the wall. So we both sat there and were like, okay, this would usually be 10 minutes.
If you're walking and moving your legs, it's still a vigorous workout.
Oh, it was hard, Mike, but there was a reward. There was a reward. And
Do we even want to hear about the reward?
The reward was seeing all these wonderful people that belonged in bathing suits and board shorts.
The beautiful people.
Yeah, that's beautiful people. And just seeing me like, oh, I guess that high-cut thong really is in... It is in play.
Yes, of course.
Mm-hmm. Is that the style now?
Oh, that's all it is. That's all it is. That's all it is. Like, it's just a different world.
You take any pictures?
No, that's where I draw.
That's kind of pervy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you can't do I'm
really
taking a selfie, but they're all butt cheeks in my selfie. Can't do that either.
How about the guy next to you? Is he taking any video?
No, the pool party itself was not as rambunctious because for Arizona, it was cold.
Ah, that's right. Weather.
Weather will change everything.
Nasty weather all over the country.
So
it's crazy.
The one time I got to the pool was the second day before, as we were leaving to go see Shannon's family once again. And I got to the pool and I ate breakfast. And I did. You sit like at the pool proper. And there were girls taking a bunch of Instagram pictures behind us, like pure Instagram models.
How cold was it out there?
59 at night and then like 77 maybe high. It's not.
Borderline.
It's not air. Tourist pool weather, yes, but not.
Is anyone getting in
ASU?
The pool?
No, little kids.
Okay. Arizona native, the real pretty people, that's 85.
No, but they're laying out.
Right.
Okay. Shannon gets jealous. We found that out this week, that Shannon has a jealous streak I've never seen in my life. She walks up to the pool, and I know that there's like a photo shoot happening behind me. Mm-hmm. I'm just not being a pervert about it and looking back all the time. And I couldn't get the sunglasses, so I can't look back without feeling like I'm looking back. Mm-hmm. And Shannon walks up and she says, "You having fun?" I'm like,
"Oh boy.
What do you mean?" She goes, "I see what you're doing." And mind you, I'm facing the opposite direction from these girls. Mind you, there were 6 of them. But I'm facing, and they were taking pictures all around the pool, because I guess that's what you do now. It's so great. And I'm facing there, and I said, what are you talking about? My computer's in front of me. I was answering some emails. She goes, "I see what you're, this is why you wanted to come out to the pool." And I'm like, what are you talking about? She goes, I know you know there are six girls in thongs in back of you. And I said, oh, them?
Them I didn't even notice.
I didn't see
are
them walking through.
Me?
No, that's what I did. She goes, no, I've been watching you from over there this whole time.
As you're staring with your tongue
As I'm pretending things were, oh, I dropped my phone behind the couch. Let me get
sure,
that.
Put upon. Yeah. He'll never change, Shannon, but he's good. He's a good, loyal man. He's a good, loyal man, so don't worry about it.
They want nothing to do with this, I'll tell you that
much. Oh, those Instagram models.
All right, part two tomorrow. We will deal with everything. After you do your recap, I want a little more of it tomorrow to find out about everything else in Arizona and more fun and more thrills. And by the way, we never got an update on Rob in the elementary school.
That's right.
You know, and because I saw your selfie where you took it in front of that throng, that standing room only crowd.
I did see that. I did see that.
It was they were scalping tickets out front.
That's it. Now that's not a selfie in front of people in thongs. No, for sure.
No thongs to be seen.
Come back with more fun. That's why we're all different. We'll take a break. Come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Rob and Joe here. Joe, me and the girlfriend getting a little kinky trying to spice things up in the bedroom.
You going to have a safe word?
How does that work?
You know, if things go too far, let me give you an example. We'll role play. I'll be your girlfriend.
Ooh, fun.
All right, how about I tie you up?
Go on.
How about maybe a little candle wax?
Ooh, I like that.
All right, how about introducing some food? How about some strawberries, some
yummy
whipped cream?
Yes.
How about this giant cucumber?
Speewack, speewack, speewack!
Safe word.
Wait a minute, how giant? Rob and Joe Show, new episode every single week, robandjoeshow.com.
Speewack!
For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com.
We'll put a stop to all sexual activity.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Oscar's back in studio and all seems right with the world. Welcome back, Oscar. We hope that you had a good time in Portugal or Buenos Aires or wherever the hell you were. But that's the past. What matters is the present. And today, you are here. Phew. Nice. I guess you don't realize that Rob wrote this, Oscar.
I can tell.
I guess you don't realize that what you have until it's gone, right, Rob?
That's right, Mike.
Well, consider this. If you don't buy the bonus show this very day, this could go away. The bonus show gives you a sixth uncensored episode of the TMOS show every week. And remember, the future of our show depends on it. So get it, buy it, try it, and dig the good sounds of the bonus show because we want to be with you forever and ever. Amen.
News.
Wow. Best show ever. All right. Amy Schumer's husband, Chris Fisher, is autistic. Specifically, he has autism spectrum disorder, also known as Asperger's.
Okay.
But it's actually a good thing because that's why she fell for him.
Mm.
She says, quote, "Once he was diagnosed, it dawned on me how funny it was because all of the characteristics that make it clear that he's on the spectrum are all of the reasons that I fell madly in love with him. That's the truth. He says whatever's on his mind, he keeps it so real. He doesn't care about social norms or what you'd expect him to say or do. So take that. That's Amy Schumer's man,
there you go.
And she's very much in love. Julia Roberts doesn't think Pretty Woman could be made today, which seems like a challenge because everything is being remade today.
Yeah.
But if you consider the Me Too movement, she might have a point. She says, quote, "A lot has changed in the industry. There are so many things that you could poke a hole in, but she says there isn't anything preventing people from still enjoying the original now."
Mm-hmm.
I think she's probably right about Pretty Woman. Probably be tough to make
that. A male gigolo gets picked up.
You'd have to reverse it.
Gary Marshall would say, it's fine.
Come on, it's funny.
It's funny. She's a hooker, but a heart of gold. It's fine.
Change the dress. She also admits that she almost turned down Notting Hill. I love Notting Hill.
I do too.
Because it sounded horrible, but she's glad she did it. I can see if they pitched it to her, being the world's biggest movie star, while she might be turned off. She says, quote, "I did not want to do that movie. The pitch of it sounds awful, right? Do you want to come in and play the world's biggest movie star and then fall in love with a bookshop owner? No." But she met the filmmakers anyway, and she says she liked them so much she figured, what the hell? That's kind of an interesting thing.
Movie.
I like those little behind the... Yeah, it is. And now there's a new show on TV about a bookshop owner, but he's a psychopath. And I recommend You, Y-O-U. That's the name of the show on Netflix.
It doesn't have Hugh Grant in it?
We are addicted to this show. This show is the bomb. It really is. After the success of Bandersnatch, Netflix is jumping back into the choose-your-own-adventure-style programming with a new series called You Versus Wild. Remember the guy we've interviewed him before, Bear Grylls?
Yeah.
The premise is simple. Bear goes on a bunch of adventures, and at various points he's presented with choices. Choices you get to make for him. He says, quote, "I'm so proud to deliver the first of its kind live-action interactive series, really giving viewers all access pass to explore the world. The stakes are high in this one." The show hits Netflix on April 10th. Netflix, like, getting it done.
Absolutely. The content,
right? Really, really special. Believe it or not, there are still people out there who are apparently using MySpace. Anyway, there was a catastrophe a year ago when the music links on the site stopped working. Initially, MySpace insisted that they were working on it, but now they have admitted that they accidentally deleted all of their music. All of it. They lost 12 years worth of music. You wonder why nobody uses them.
Yeah.
And they don't have a backup. They said, quote, "As a result of a server migration project, any photos, videos, and audio files you uploaded more than 3 years ago may no longer be available on or from MySpace. We apologize for the inconvenience." If you're storing any valuable videos MySpace, you might deserve what you
get. But the bright side, Mike, is that since this happened, Tom's laptop is moving so much faster.
Thank you. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is the next big one from Quentin Tarantino, the ninth film by Pulp Fiction and Inglourious Basterds writer-director Quentin Tarantino. Sorry for that. I'm trying to rush. I felt rushed. I'm so stressed out today. It's off the charts.
It'll be okay.
Quentin Tarantino. It'll be upon us this July, starring Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt. The trailer is all set to hit these internets sometime this coming week and prepare us for what is sure to be a killer 2.5 minutes. And so it sounds cool. It's maybe like a period piece with those guys playing tough guys.
I love it because I thought he did a great job with the period piece in Inglourious Basterds. It had a modern feel, but it did look like the 1940s. He did a good job.
Even the bad Tarantino movies, I think, are good movies.
Still pretty good.
Movies to watch. And now a little something something. Thousands of people have flocked to a huge festival in Japan, and it is dedicated entirely to penises. Every year in March, residents and visitors of the Aichi Prefecture in Japan flock to Komaki, north of Nagoya, to see a giant phallus carried through the streets. Men carry a 2-meter man thing carved from Japanese cypress and offer it to the shrine with prayers for a good harvest, flourishing of all natural things, and fertility to loved ones.
Yes.
Lucky guests are able to give the wooden replica a kiss.
Oh!
There was more detail to the story, but I won't tell you where they kiss it.
Okay.
And the streets are awash with all things phallic. Visitors to the festival enjoy chocolate-dipped bananas, hot dogs, and artfully designed pancakes. The parade is followed by a street party with snacks, sake, and souvenirs. The festival culminates with all of the revelers saying a prayer at a poster of Matt Ponyboy Bloom in the hopes that he will get lucky in the year 2019.
Yep, I was the model.
Fantastic. I didn't know that. Carved out of Japanese cypress. We'll take
That's
a break and come back with the audio vault right here with Rob Spiewak. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Tom Rogal.
Hi, Tom.
I like to get my news anywhere I can. That's why I love to listen to The Mike and Mira Show.
What?
And my favorite way to consume it is on Spotify. Because Spotify is young and cool. And I'm young and cool. Just like Chuck Todd. So go to Spotify and search The Mike and Mira Show. It's the best. Even better than a transistor radio. Or a hula hoop. TMOS on Spotify. I'm Tom Brokaw, and I'm old.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Come closer to your speaker. Let me look at you. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I can see it in your eyes. You want to shop, don't you?
Oh.
Time for you to hit the TMOS Shopping Center and get ready for spring. It's right at our website, and it gives you unfettered access to Walmart, Target, and Macy's. Walmart has everything you need for the March hoops matchup, sporting goods, and fan shop gear, and big, big TVs. We haven't done anything about the brackets.
Right.
Sorry. I know VCU's in it. It's the last chance, right? It's the last time.
Bracketology.
Yeah.
I think the first game's tomorrow.
It is?
I think so.
So could we conceivably do it tomorrow?
Or we could. Let me I'm checking
find
the
out
right now.
Target has everything Easter, from baskets to candy decor to dresses. Macy's, how about 25% off select activewear? Activewear. This is internet shopping at its finest. Not only do you get all the stuff you love, but you're supporting the Mike O'Mara Show. Cost you nothing, means the world to us. Next time you need anything, just go to the TMOS Shopping Center at MikeO'MaraShow.com. It has everything Macy's, Target, Walmart, and TMOS. Now go spend money. You have the brackets?
I do, as a matter of fact. The first four games that determine the ones that go into the 48, that's today and tomorrow. But we can do the final week bracket as late as the 21st.
Oh, so we can do it. Let's do it. Let's do brackets.
All right.
Yeah. And maybe if I have initiative, if I'm not on the phone for 7 hours with Comcast today, maybe I'll do it.
Yeah.
I got to cancel TV and redo the internet. And
right.
Then my world
packed
will
day.
Be
complete. Packed
yes. Very, very, very packed day. Let's open up the audio vault for today, Tuesday, March 19th, 2019.
It pleases me that you bring up the brackets, Mike, because I like
to see my hair, Oscar.
Oh, no.
You weren't going to do it.
Oh, my God.
Show him the back.
Who did this to you? That is so tragic.
That is really
Anthony
sad.
My barber. Anthony,
and he thought that looked good?
Yeah. Well, Carla likes it, believe it or not.
She likes that?
Yeah, she likes it. She thinks I look tough.
When she says she likes it, does she stifle laughter?
No.
She really does?
It.
Wow.
She really likes that.
Sorry, go ahead, Robert.
All right, I'm glad you brought up the brackets. A lot of people like this every year. Here are all the teams in the March Madness in 45 seconds.
Oh, wow.
Find your favorite, okay?
Bears, Bruins, Braves, Bulls, Boilermakers, and Buckeyes, Cardinals, Eagles, Owls, Ducks, Jayhawks, and Hawkeyes, Golden Eagles, Golden Gophers, Red Storm, Red Raiders, Bulldogs, Times Four, Bison, and Terriers, Blue Devils, Sun Devils, Billikens, Tar Heels, Two Tigers, Terrapins, and some team they call the Norse. Oh my God, there's still 38 more.
Oh.
Cougars, Catamounts, Two Panthers, Four Wildcats, Badgers, Grizzlies, Wolverines, Rams, and the Wolfpacks, Sooners, Spartans, Seminoles,
same Hokies, guy.
Rebels, Gales, Twice,
yep.
Cavaliers, Volunteers, Monarchs, Flames, and Two Knights, Doves, Huskies, Cyclones, Orange Gators, Two and Aggies and Eaters, Raiders, Bearcats, Pirates, and Racers. The field is set. Fill out your brackets. It's March Madness.
That's consistent.
I like it. I like it very much.
Every year I like that. I really do.
I like also smart kids.
Okay.
A smart kid can take something that every other kid has access to and take it to the next level. I am no longer around kids that sell Girl Scout cookies, but I went through that a lot because Julia did a year of scouting. She had friends who scouted.
Unless you're on stage.
But of course, with Mike, that's about show business, not about consuming cookies.
I get it.
But this is in Milwaukee. Girl Scouts said, we need to sell cookies. So they set up Girl Scout cookie stands, not in front of a grocery store, but outside of bars on St. Patrick's Day.
Brilliant. I am trying to help people get food and also reach my goal.
The entrepreneurship of these young women selling Girl Scout cookies during St. Patty's Day, when they know that people are going to be completely willing to give up their money for sugar, is absolutely brilliant.
You should probably get some for your mom, too.
How do you think the people over there will feel when they buy the cookies?
Probably happy.
Happy!
I love it. She's so real.
Perfect.
She's
I know,
such
it's
a
great.
Kid. I love kids.
So you just told us, Mike, that MySpace deleted 12 years of content, 12 years
yes.
of music. Too bad they didn't delete this.
Okay.
Motley Crue has a movie coming out on Netflix, and in the movie, I know, I think it's a biopic
really?
Of some sort. I don't know.
Okay.
As my Aunt Dorothy used to say, the details bored me.
But are they? You think they're trying to piggyback on the Bohemian Rhapsody
of
stuff?
Of course they are. But they've also made,
so
Mike, they've made new music, and the song that they're pushing is Motley Crue's cover of Like a Virgin.
Oh, God.
I know.
It's terrible.
It's garbage.
Let's hear the hook. They did nothing.
This is a cover.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just so horrible.
It's not even
though.
Their own iteration of what.
Like, it ain't right. And it's like a pure. God, it's embarrassing.
The most common comment under it is, "I can't unhear that. I can't unhear that."
That is so ridiculous. So that, you know.
But as bad of a song, as bad of a song as that is, what does it say about me? That makes me want to see their bad Netflix movie more.
Yeah.
Because
you're right.
Because
absolutely.
It's going to be
I'd look in.
A horrendous gallop.
This cover get greenlit.
Yeah. You know?
It's and amazing.
I bet what happened is they probably got the rhythm track down, and one of them, Vince Neil, says, "This sucks." He says, "Yeah, but it's mostly done. Let's finish it."
That's funny.
One of your favorites, Mike. Do you know that Whoopi Goldberg had not been on The View since February 6th?
Yeah, she's very sick.
She almost died from pneumonia, but yesterday she's back.
Very happy to be here sitting up, looking.
Yeah.
Actually being able to talk to people without people going, "Do you need something?" Yeah. I do, and what I needed was this.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, good for her.
It's good to have her back. And let's close with this. I am sort of put off by the notion of a t-shirt cannon. You see them at many sporting events where they will shoot. And, you know, at some place I've seen them do it burritos. Mm-hmm. They shoot things into the stand.
Yeah.
It wouldn't take long for someone to figure out how to harness the power of the t-shirt cannon for bad. And this was used to shoot things into a prison.
A woman in Oklahoma was arrested after allegedly using a t-shirt cannon to launch contraband into a nearby prison. And she might have gotten away with it if she hadn't played this music while she did it.
That is your magic audio ball. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.
That's it. Thanks for joining us. Welcome back, Oscar.
Yeah.
Thanks so much to April Rain, Ethan's mom, and a wonderful lady. I hope she comes back and joins us soon. If you got a message you'd like to hear in our mailbag, send it to Rob with two B's at MikeOMaraShow.com. The Yak Shack is always open.
Always open.
Especially for you insomniacs, 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. Leave us a phone call. You never know when we'll open the Yak Shack
Yak
and take
Shack.
Your phone calls. For Oscar Santana and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara thanking you for your continued amazing support for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. So long, Comcast.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
A real woman could stop you from drinking.
It has to be a real big woman.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, you betcha, yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta tell them, Silent Breed is people!
Goodbye, duties.